It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. The latest and greatest in data breaching is overreaching. Data breaching is overreaching, but we're talking about data breaching and overreaching. My name is Joy, fresh off the beer league field here. Talk about committed to the cause. We won, Len. How about this for a game? We scored on, yours truly scored on two deep bombs. I can really run. I got a lot of speed. So two deep balls I scored on. And then we had guys return intercepted laterals from the other team for touchdowns. How about that? Oh. Talk about running to the ball. You love to see that kind of intensity. Absolutely.
Who's
love to
doing
see
this
it.
Type of these schoolyard plays? Like, come on.
It's the best, Len. It's the stuff that people come up with, especially the teams that have been together for a long time. It's sick, some of the stuff. We have like a couple of really good, like two or three QB plays, like some fake sort of wishbone stuff. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Guys like Mike Ditka would just eat you guys alive and say, boys, here's the X's and O's. You follow it. And if not, you're going to be playing defense for Buddy. And trust me, he'll eat you up.
Buddy Ryan. Yeah, nice. Okay, so we got quite a bit to talk about today. Let me just head to the quote of the week as we are keen to do here.
It's a Russian dude.
Yeah, last week's quote. We know they're lying. They know they're lying. They know that we know they're lying. We also know that they know that we know they're lying, but still they lie. Lots of fun answers. The answer they were looking for was Alexander Schultzenskin.
It's a tough name to pronounce. Yeah, so
really hanging out to dry there. No suggestions from you on that
did
one.
Did you read up on this dude?
No.
No, he hated the Soviet Union. He was talking about the gulags and everything, but he's a Russian. So he grew up in a very interesting time. Maybe he grew up in interesting times. He did. He tried to bring a shine a light on something that's going on behind the Iron Curtain.
I love it. Jonathan got that. So well done, Jonathan. This week's quote, a lot shorter, thank God. The trials we endure can and should introduce us to our strengths. I like that quote too. There's a lot of good quotes here. If you know who that was by, you know the rules. No searching. Put it in the comments and you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. I had a high school English teacher, Mr. Leonard, who used to write a quote on the blackboard every single day. And I wish I could remember some of them because I remember even at like 14, I guess, when you're in grade 9, I had them in grade 9 English. Some of them really spoke to me. It was like the first time you're exposed to sort of anything past layer one thinking. And I always appreciated that the older I got. I hope that Mr. Leonard's doing well. Anyway.
Back when Linux still does this.
Yeah.
But when you used to log on with the text prompt, now everyone has the graphical prompt to log on. But before, when it was a text prompt, when you logged on, every time you log on, you got a quote. Every time.
Nice. I like that.
And just recycled. And it was, you know, thousands.
I'm a sucker for a good quote. Like we've talked before about how Civ 6, Civ 5, all the civilizations, when you research a tech in those games, it gives you like a, you know, appropriate quote from some historical figure. I always like that anyway. So Len, how many stories you got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stories.
5 plus the bonus.
Some bangers here. The Google one is like nuts. Do you want to start there?
Yeah. So sure. It's been a while since, well, the Google one. Well, sure.
They're a frequent flyer, I think, on the show.
No, let's talk. I mean, the order I have it here, because now that screwed me up.
Okay, whatever. Start wherever you want.
Google,
I don't care.
Google, let's do them. They're feeling the wrath of the Department of the U.S. Justice Department. And it's a U.S. District Judge, Amit Mehta. Well, he said that they're acting as one to maintain its monopoly. No kidding, right? Let's be honest. Google does this. So having a search engine like Google, this is an extremely powerful tool that they have at their disposal. And should you think about it, Joey, even people have turned this into a verb. I mean, just Google it, right? Like that's now a verb. So that's how powerful this has become. It's now become into our everyday talk. But with respect to this decision by the court, it will be appealed by Google because obviously they're not going to let this stand pat. But okay, sure, they're acting in a monopolistic way. Like, let's be honest, we could all see it, but you know, let's be honest. Android out there. How many devices are there in the world? There's an estimated 3 billion that's currently being used. Who knows if that's accurate or not. And each one of these Android devices is defaulted with Google as its search engine and also defaults Chrome into the hardware. So you have 2 points going to Google. Then throw in the money that they're paying into Apple. And this is to have their iPhones default the search engine to Google. And you could say that this competition stands very little chance of fighting up against this. The making a foothold in the marketplace is an uphill battle, and that is an understatement of that. But look, paying Apple, for instance, is they're paying them a boatload of money.
Tons.
Is this monopolistic tactics?
I don't know. I kind of come down on no, honestly.
Anyone could do it.
Yeah.
I could do it. You have to have the you know, the scratch to do it.
The capital, yeah.
Right. Like, it's not like Apple's forced to do it. Apple's doing it because they're obviously it's advantageous for them to do it. It's financially advantageous for them to do so. So anybody else could do it. If Microsoft, and they have deep pockets, if they want to do the same thing and say, okay, Apple, I'm going to, whatever Google's paying you, give you an extra billion on top of that, and you make big our search engine, Apple's going to say, heck yeah. And for sure they'll do that. So, okay. Apple users out there, that's defaulted. Android users, ETL. But you know what each of these users can do? They could change the default to whatever they like. Don't like Google? Well, good luck asking Jeeves moving forward about your search results. It's going to be pretty crappy as a result. There's a reason why people, for the most part, go to Google as one of their top places to search for stuff. Agreed. So somebody needs to step up and make a better product. But it's easier said than done. I'm saying that. And I'm sitting in the basement, obviously not building anything. But the reality is the Department of Justice, they don't like this, but nobody out there is going to build a product that's going to compete against Google in the current state. Also, I have to say, this will eventually, I think, weed itself out. Very long time ago, Microsoft had a massive foothold in the computer marketplace. Every computer had Windows, just about every computer had Windows installed. Nowadays, less so the case. Because the industry evolved, the search engine field will evolve. I don't think we're going to be going to a device, computer or phone, and going to google.com. There's going to be some change moving forward. And that change may bring a new competition, may spur some sort of new way of doing things. One thing Google doesn't do very well is innovate. And in that regards, I don't think they're going to find stuff up. Innovating, I don't think they're really good at that. But anyways.
Let me make the case for this being just standard capitalistic practices. If I go to my phone, I actually didn't think to do this until just now. I can easily opt into another search engine. So I have Yahoo, Bing, DuckDuckGo, and Ecosia. I don't know what that is. I would never heard of it. Yeah, me neither. But like it's just one touch basically in my phone. I just typed in Safari, little down the list, there's search engine and you pick which one you want. So is that monopolistic? I don't know. The judge finds that even if Google reduced the quality of its results, people still wouldn't switch because of monopolistic practices. I mean, is this really just a case? It seems to me like this is actually something that comes up a lot, but is this not just a case of the sort of merits and legality of the opt out compared to the opt in for end users? Like when I start my phone, I've had so many iPhones over the years, I basically know the opening sequence by heart. It asks you what language you want to speak in, what language you want your keyboard to be, how do you want Siri to work. It doesn't ask you about the search engine. If they put the search engine in that, is that monopolistic at that point? You know, like this Safari will default to Google. Are you okay with that? Yes. The question is like, who would switch it off at this point? Because you and me talk about how Google is basically like a, you know, propaganda arm. I think that's true. But I also think that 99% of people don't care about that. It doesn't matter to them. They just want to, you know, see the bread and circuses that they search for when they pump in the query into the browser. Right. So I'm not convinced this is monopolistic. And you know, it's the judge admits that the evidence is compelling, although it's sparse. There's just not that much to go on here. And I think that, Len, what we're seeing, and I'm not the only person who thinks this, not to draw on like the CBP Michael Geis interview, but he noted, and I agree with this, I would guess you do too, it's trendy to go after big tech. Everyone seems happy to try and put these guys in their place, even though it's sort of beyond debate at this point. These guys are all making life easier for a lot of people. Are they fudging the search results? Maybe. Where's the court case on that? You know, like where's that trial by fire? You know, Google is doing a lot of things for the government in terms of delivering certain results. But this is a bridge too far. You know, I don't want to keep using the Safari example. There's other evidence in here, but they talk a lot about Apple in the article. I don't buy it. And I think Google's going to win on appeal. Honestly, that's my guess.
And if they don't, they could just easily write the check and just.
What search engine do you use, by the way? What are you rocking? You Alta Vista? You heading to Profusion? No, Google searches. What are you doing?
For the first point of contact is Google. It's really good.
Yeah.
DuckDuckGo was pretty darn good until not too long ago. It was exposed that they were manipulating the search results.
Yes, sir. And at that point, I remember that.
Then it's like, oh man, it's just basically going to the enemy and deal with it, one enemy or another, and pick your poison. It's too bad. Now, in terms of this, they may appeal if they win or lose. If they lose, what's going to be the outcome? Are they going to be forced to somehow chop up their monopoly, quote unquote?
It's hard to say that. Like, okay, well, I'll tell you, you know, if you had told me 5 years ago that the iPhone and Apple would be forced to change to USB-C and open up the App Store, I would have said no way. But, you know, they've done it. And I doubt it's affected sales at all negatively, for sure. I think it's, if anything, it's been a positive for sales. So maybe Google finds some way to, you know, skin this cat in a way that's beneficial for them. I don't know what that way would be. Like I said, I think I would guess, Len, that all these devices, like, you just put an opt-in instead of an opt-out. You know, do you want Google? Yes, no, maybe. And then you're good. Like, if everyone's choosing Google, which they're doing anyways, right?
So if you switch off from Google, it would ask you, are you sure about that? Are you really sure about that? You have to keep asking 5 or 6 times just to make sure. Ah, screw it. I'm going to just make it Google.
Or like they might do something like, you know, if you don't use Google, you have to sign out of your Google account. Like that's monopolistic. But this other stuff, like search, what are we talking about here? Search.
Yeah. The U.S. government, like, let's be honest, you said it's the fat of the day to go after big tech. So another one they're going after is TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while since we talked about a lawsuit against TikTok, but we are due and here we are. And the government has decided enough is enough, time for a change, as they filed a lawsuit against TikTok for collecting personal information from children under 13 without parental consent. So this is a direct violation of the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, the COPPA. I think it's a cop-out. So no word from Google, no word about Google, Apple, Amazon getting the same type of lawsuit for data that's being collected by users using their devices, because let's be honest, the same thing is being done. But anyways, Kids Mode, that's the accounts that is being offered by TikTok to give children under the age of 13. Well, it looks like, you know, TikTok's doing a naughty thing because they're collecting extensive data from those users that are using Kids Mode and allowing them to access adult content and interact with adult users. That's a big no-no. So all apps, let's be honest, spy on people.
Yeah.
I mean, not all. The majority of apps spy on people. And TikTok, it fucking sucks. But they're not the only guilty party here. But we need a scapegoat. There is an election going on this year. The Chinese app, low-hanging fruit. Might as well go after them. You can say, yeah, we are fighting for the little guy. We're here to protect you. But there's others out there that are doing the same thing. I'm go after TikTok, great. But, you know what? Go after the rest as well.
Yeah.
Make sure that you are even keel. When dealing with these type of instances, there's more than just TikTok. Yeah, TikTok sucks, but so does a lot of other things.
The collected data thing is a weird one. I didn't know that the company failed to delete personal information, blah, 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 when parents requested it. I didn't know that was a requirement under COPPA. Is it I suppose it's a requirement for a lot of apps then, right? If I ask, if I ask YouTube to delete all the information related to CBP, I guess they have to do that, right? Like, is that the law or is it just for kids?
Well, and if there is a law and then you could just ask them to do it, how can you guarantee that they've done it?
You can't. Yeah, you can't. Like, of course.
Trust me, bro. All right, great. That's I don't like that answer. I want to see evidence that it's been done. And without that, it's just, I don't care really.
I don't really have a comment on this. I as a separate sort of in the same vein, I have a kid on the way. I'm not going to give them access to TikTok and YouTube Kids, these AI generated, like, you know, drooling baby type videos. It's just not, it's not good. And how many times then we've talked about, like, the government of China is giving us one algo while the kids in China get engineering videos and STEM videos, whatever, you know, like, do the math, man. Raise your own damn kids, as Charles Barkley once said.
So next one, AI censorship. I like this act. The Nurture Originals, Foster Art, and Keep Entertainment Safe Act. The No Fakes.
I can't. That's the dumbest, absolute terrible name. One of the worst things we've had on this
these
show.
Names. I mean, we have to rank them like we do these hacker groups. And I don't know if we can go into negative territory, but if it's possible, I'd like to go to the maximum in terms of negativity here.
Sure.
Bad. It's awful. It does nothing to tickle.
I'm with you. People who are watching on video, I'm sorry for fidgeting. My back is soaked and now I can feel it's like getting on the chair.
Yeah, I hate that. That's why I need a leather chair. Those are the best to sit on, by the way. My car.
I forgot.
Yeah, just spring for some leather cover or something like that. Either way, this No Fakes Act, this was introduced in the Senate by two senators, one Democrat and another a Republican. So it's crossing the boundaries of both lines here. So Senator Chris Coons and Senator Marsha Blackburn. I've heard of Chris Coons, but I haven't heard of Senator Blackburn before.
Opposite for me. The one Blackburn rings a bell, Coons doesn't. Yeah.
So the aim of this bill is to stop AI-generated content that, you know, that they say is an unauthorized digital replica. Everybody's seen these. I mean, I'm not talking about the Janet Yellen or the AI Jerome Powell out there talking smack about people's finances, but those are funny things. That's what they're not trying to stop here. What they're trying to stop is stuff that's coming up from Hollywood. And so you're copying stuff over there. There's an IP surrounding the movies or the stuff that comes up from Hollywood. So in this case, that industry is pleased with this proposal. I mean, the likes of Disney and the Motion Picture Association, they're giving this all a collective two thumbs up, or I guess six thumbs in this case. Either way, I wish they could, you know, use those same thumbs, because they don't have a collective bone in any of those thumbs to write up a better script for stuff we could watch these days, because they're just rehashing the same old garbage. Anyways, I'm just going into a tangent here. The thing is, people are saying that this may limit free speech, because if you're going to have some sort of limitation on what you could do with artificial intelligence, and in this case, they're trying to stop from copying stuff in Hollywood. Well, given the people who are going to be administering this, the government and lobbyist groups out there that fund a lot of politicians, they're very powerful and they get a lot of things going their way. It's possible that you could see this thing being taken too far. And if it does go too far, really, come on. Like, who are they pissing off? It's really the end user here, the people that want to see some funny stuff. It's not harming anything. It's not harming in the industry. In fact, I would make an argument, maybe it may bring some new eyeballs. I don't watch movies these days, but if I see something funny that is AI generated that is tied to a particular film, there is a chance, albeit very small at that, that I'd watch that particular movie. Without that, I guarantee I'm not going to watch it. So these guys, they may be shooting themselves in the foot. Like I say, they don't have a creative bone in their body these days. And looks like they're after the people that just want to bring some new eyeballs to their product. So screw them.
I want to read this from the article. I'm going to read one paragraph. The EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, you've heard of this, I'm sure, doesn't like this definition, the definition that you mentioned, calling it broad. Well, the right is given to people, that would be celebrities, other holders of rights to their likeness, heirs 70 years after their death, but also retroactively, for those who have already died. That the bill ultimately has to do with money, hence such enthusiasm in the entertainment industry is one thing, but its potential at the same time to provide another avenue for undermining speech is another. Spot on. I'm not only not in favor of any legislation in either case. There's two examples here, one from the EFF, or one that EFF supports and one that these other parties support. Isn't the correct response to this, good luck? How are you going to can't stop this train, man? You know, AI is not going away. It's becoming more and more accessible. You and me have spoken about how even like if you have an NVIDIA card in your computer now, you can basically build your own LLM on your computer. That's step one. Soon it's going to be, you're going to be able to animate pictures. That's step two. And then after that, you're talking about movies and whatnot. You know, the photorealism in the AI stuff is getting better and better. And as you mentioned, there's all these videos floating around of Powell and Yellen and whoever. You don't think that some politician is going to say that's not satire, that's misinformation? Of course they're going to. Of course they're going to. Why would they not? What about the behavior of modern politicians tells you that they're suddenly going to, you know, be okay with a little bit of humor? I would say not much. And so I come down with 2 feet on the side of good luck to all the people trying to oppose this stuff with legislation. Good luck. I wish you the best.
Have fun not being copied.
Have fun staying original. Yeah.
So let's talk about what Android users should be aware of, because there's a new attack out there that aims to steal users' SMS messages. And this has been going on since February of 2022. People may be wondering, SMS, is there, you know, this really just worthless information? But people have been using it as a place for those one-time passwords when logging in to certain websites. So there may be a use for stealing somebody's or getting access to somebody's SMS messages. And as for Zimperium's report, this malware was monitoring one-time password messengers across 600 global brands. And some global brands have user accounts in the hundreds of millions of users. So that's a lot of information that they could potentially get. So the users, they're hurting themselves in this particular case, because the malware doesn't just simply show up on your Android device. The user needs to install a malicious app on their device. And this is done, as per this article, through either a fake Google Store app listing or being duped by a Telegram bot. So they're just clicking on stuff sometimes they shouldn't be. But either way, people need to be more diligent on what the heck they're clicking on and installing on their phone. But what's worse about all this, once the app gets installed, it has to ask for permission to use SMS or get access to it. So they're still, you're clicking a second time. Not only are you going to be installing this APK, you know what? Get access to the stuff that, like my SMS messages. Like, guys, be better with your security hygiene. Do something better than that. But it's unknown right now who is behind this particular attack. But now that there's a database that's been created and it's somewhere out there that now correlates names of individuals, telephone numbers, login information, all tied to particular accounts, that's a lot of information that could be used moving forward, potentially sold, and there may be a bigger hack down the road if this information ends up in the wrong people's hands. So another thing I just got to say, like, just don't install stuff. It does not make sense. When you install something, look at what you're installing, try to verify it as much as possible, and then do it. Until then, do not install.
It's funny that the chain of infection starts with a typical phishing attack on WhatsApp. It's all like, no matter how sophisticated the attacks are that we talk about on this show, how do they always start, Len? It's left side of the curve stuff. You know, Nigerian prince email. Someone sends you an email with a PDF. I got a random email in my Gmail account the other day with a PDF in it. Like, just here, check this out. Like, okay, come on. I'm gonna try and be kind to the normies here. Like you said, just don't open stuff if you don't know what it is. If you don't need it, don't install it. If it's not from a trusted party, don't download it. What are you doing, man? You know, like, if you start giving up OTP access, how many OTP different OTP applications are there? Tons. You get one-time passwords for everything now. No one is, like, you know, worried about their password. Everything is a great example. Okay. You and me just bought computers for CBP from Walmart. When you sign into Walmart, how do you sign in?
I don't go to Walmart to buy anything, so I can't answer that. How is it normally done?
Well, didn't you not just buy the computer from Walmart?
My wife did. I don't have access to a lot of this stuff.
It's OTP. It's OTP to sign in. You know what I mean? So, like, you have to get the OTP password and the OT password. And if you have access, if you give that up, like, people are going to be using your payment information, your name, your address, like, you name it. It's just, it's unwise, my friends, to go down this road. There's probably something to be said here for using two-factor with an authenticator app instead of one-time password, stuff like that. But the lesson is, you know, the article is 700 words with a complicated flow chart and, you know, the complete attack flow. And in the second to last paragraph, third to last paragraph, the chain of infection starts with a typical phishing attack on WhatsApp. Okay, well, quit looking for romance on WhatsApp. You know, it's not that's the fix. That's always the fix. Just cut it out. Enough. God. Go to the bar and talk to somebody. There's no Russian bride, you know, sending you PDFs as the final step before she comes over to live with you. Just cut it out. Just cut it out.
But things are bad over there. Like, they got rid of stuff like McDonald's and the Apple Store.
Good,
they
all Russian brides can be piling up.
Yeah, because they might want to get all the latest and greatest in terms of technology and stuff. They don't have access to it over there, but they can in the Western country.
I love it.
Who knows? Maybe I'm just a sucker.
You hopeless romantic?
Yeah. I'll just keep clicking away. Hopefully something will come up. The Online Safety Act, and it's called... this thing has been passed by Senate with flying colors, and it may end up becoming law in a not too distant future. And this bill has not only been blessed by the Senate and passed with resounding numbers, but Congress looks like it's probably going to green light this as well when they return back to their sitting. And also you have President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. They also talked fondly of the act and support it as well. So they got a lot of people in very powerful positions that are in favor of this particular act. So basically this thing is going to get rubber stamped into law. So context of the bill, it's legislation aimed at protecting minors from online harms on social media platforms. And it introduces a duty of care for platforms.
Doesn't it sound familiar? You said talked about this. Some other country. Yeah. Which one was it? It was us.
Well, I don't want to go there. So anyways, it requires them to take measures to safeguard children's well-being. So the platform administrators have to take care of that. Also, the goal of this is to provide data privacy for children's information, protection from harmful.
Gotta protect them from the harm. Protect them.
Yeah. Also, the transparency and parental controls.
Protection.
So the aim of this is also to improve or/reduce mental health issues, cyberbullying, addiction to screen time, stuff like that. But on the flip side, people are saying the bill could lead to censorship of lawful content. There could be government overreach and so forth. So all I got to say is, look what's going on right now in the United Kingdom, where people are now having authorities show up at their doorstep because they retweeted something. And the people in power don't like that. So it may very well that something like this could have much more overreach. You're seeing examples of what's going on actually right now. Yep. So it's not like it's
not hypothetical. It's not hypothetical. It's here. It's here.
So with all this being said, and the fact that it looks like this is going to pass, be careful.
We've talked about the EU doing this. The UK is arresting people who are retweeting migrant crime videos. And now the US they got this thing on the burner. Canada's got the bill S210, same thing. Do the math, man. There's nothing I can say that hasn't been said already on this show, on CBP, by people way smarter than you and I. Do the math on this. It's going one direction, okay? It ain't going to be private for much longer. You're going to damn near have a camera in your fucking bedroom. Sorry for the swearing. If this keeps going this way. And, you know, you may already have one, actually, Len, if you got one of these Amazon Alexas or Apple Homes or, you know, it's clear that there is a coordinated, concentrated, and I think very much cohesive set of attempts to make sure that everyone knows what you're doing online and when you're doing it. And they want to make sure that you understand that you will be punished if you say something that's not friendly to the regime. Sad state of affairs, but it's going that direction, buddy. What can I say?
We have one more addition.
Let's do it. I'm gonna do my absolute best here. This is over my head. Mark and I talked about this last night. I'm gonna go to my notes here. I made notes for this one because some of them are difficult.
It's okay, with respect to Krebs. Just to
yeah, this is a Krebs on Security story that Mark has taken issue with, and he's posted a blog on domainsure.com. It's under the news section. The title is "Sitting Duck DNS Flaw is a Red Herring," and There's something to be said here. Krebs did this thing where he was talking about how this sitting duck DNS issue, alleged DNS issue, was a problem for DNS providers, and that it was a DNS vulnerability. Mark is making the case that it's really not. So I'm gonna go through the sort of notes here, and you tell me what you think. The way that this works is a domain owner uses a registrar to point a domain at a name server. Okay. Name server, NS and DNS. A big company can point a domain at another DNS provider for a specific application or for a specific purpose. So let's say, like, if you're doing an ad campaign, right? You and me start an ad campaign, CBP Ethereum airdrop, .com. Okay. Not that we would ever do that, but let's say we did. And at the end of the campaign, we just let the thing die, but we don't actually do anything with it. The DNS provider years later, maybe deletes the account associated with that website, but doesn't actually do anything with the domain. It stays where the owner had it pointed via the domain registrar. Krebs is saying that this is the fault of the DNS providers, right? That the people who are leaving these things out to dry have no responsibility, and the registrars have no responsibility. Well, not quite. It means really that if you were like another company who knew about this like stuff that was floating out there, being like unattended to and forgotten about, you could come in, grab those domains from the DNS provider with a new account and add those domains to your account. And then you control where those things point. So you can point it anywhere. You can set up a fake page, a fake CBP airdrop. You can drop malware on people. There's tons of options. The possibilities are endless. The only entity that can control the forgetfulness of these companies is the registrar. And Mark Monitor, the company that is sort of part of this story, was quick, very quick. They're like the big gun in this domain, no pun intended, is embracing Brian Krebs' explanation because it means they weren't responsible for anything here, even though they were. So Krebs is wrong, and these guys are amplifying the message like 100%. This is right. We didn't do anything wrong, blah, blah, blah. If you had used DomainSure, you would have had your stuff monitored. Mark pointed out that they would send emails or notify people, hey, this thing is floating out there, just so you know. It's not being paid for anymore, but you still are responsible for where it points, FYI. And DomainSure does this, but these other companies just don't. The guys who are running the big ships. And so I would say if you're you know, looking at this story and thinking, oh man, am I vulnerable? Not if you use DomainSure. As in every story here, it seems to me, and I'm not just saying this because this is not, you know, an Easy DNS podcast, although it is. How many times has Mark told us about these stories and been like, yeah, this would never happen if they had been using us because we have XYZ product, XYZ protection, XYZ whatever. And, you know, how many people come from CBP to use Easy DNS for stuff or get advice from Mark and then come to us and say, yeah, the service was bad, the product wasn't secure, blah, blah, blah. Zero. The answer is zero. And so although this is a little above my technical expertise, I think I did a decent job summing that up. The point is Krebs got this wrong. The big guys who are absolved in the Krebs explanation amplified it and applauded him for it. And Mark, and I think he's right, is trying to say that this is not the correct explanation. And I encourage people to go to the DomainSure website and read the article with it's stuffed full of links and has a nice little flow chart as well, which we appreciate on this program that explains what the problem is. So yeah, Mark, I hope I did okay there. I'm 100% with him. Makes sense for me. He explained it to me from first principles yesterday over the course of like half an hour. And I am confident that he is correct, sir.
So the question is then, Krebs, they know their stuff. It's not like they're...
Yeah, question is, why did he get it wrong, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who are they protecting, or was there an exchange of money? Or given the fact what just happened I'm mistaking them with Kaspersky, my mistake. Mm-hmm. But either way...
You know how many followers Krebs has on Twitter, by the way?
I have no idea. I'll like guess almost maybe 250,000.
Yeah, almost 400,000. A lot. Okay. He's a huge name in security, right? So, you know, can he be bought? I don't know. But it makes you wonder, like, if he got that wrong, what else did he get wrong? And again, I'm not a technical expert, but the way it was explained to me, yeah, of course. Like, of course the company should tell you if there's like a potential hazard to your business or your brand because you forgot about something that you bought, you know, 5 years ago for a 2-month campaign. Naturally, this is like a thing you should be doing, in my estimation anyways. So, you know, make it that real. But yeah, there you go. Done. Great.
I'm adding nothing to that. You did a very good job.
Super. I appreciate that. I'm going to go munch on some scrambled eggs, maybe some cheese and some salami. My name is Joey. That's Len. That was Access of Easy. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast and enjoy the rest of your first weekend of August. Is it second weekend of August? I guess last weekend was the first one, right?
Second, yeah.
Second weekend of August. Hit some balls, cut the grass. You know the drill. We'll talk to you guys next week.
It's gonna rain, man. No, at least on Friday it's gonna rain. It's not Saturday. Anyways, yeah.
Have a good one.